right, LifePoint Church, good morning. I hope everyone is well. I'll tell you what, it's a lot warmer in here than it was back there. It was a little chilly. But I'm so thankful that you're here with us this morning. You chose LifePoint Church to be your place of worship and to be the place that you conclude 2017. How many of you are glad to see 2017 go? There's a few people out there, I hear you. It must have been rough. No, I'm glad to see it go too. There's been a lot of incredible things that have taken place in 2017. I mean, it has been a wild ride to say the least. But it's been a great ride. It's been a great year. We've had so many incredible things take place in our lives, in my family's lives, but also within our church. And so thankful for what God's done in 2017. But if I'm being honest, I'm ready for 2018. I'm ready to see what God is going to bring in our church, in your lives individually, in my own personal life and in my family. I am stoked for 2018 to be here. So goodbye 2017. Hello 2018. And to kick this thing off, we're going to start a new message series called Go Small. And really, when you think about the new year, there's like this sense of excitement, right, that comes when you think of a new year. It's new, right? So it's this kind of like this mental reset button. There's something new. There's something that can be different in 2018. And I don't know if it's just culturally or if it's just, you know, psychologically, but we have a sense of optimism that takes place every year at the new year. It's like this reboot. So for many of you, you hit those New Year's resolutions up, right? You know, you hear those all the time. So, but for you, maybe you're like, you know, in 2018, I'm going to be healthier, right? I want to be healthier. I'm gonna get more rest, or I'm going to make sure that I eat healthier, or I get some more exercise, or I'm going to take just some more me time, right? And just, you know, not always give and give, but take that time to rest. And in 2018, I'm going to be healthier. Or maybe for you, it's that 2018, I'm going to be more spiritually focused. I'm going to really, really get into God's word. I'm really going to strengthen my relationship with him, and I'm going to dive into that in 2018, and I'm just going to be different. Or maybe for you, it's I'm going to spend more time with my family, with my kids. I'm going to devote more time. I'm going to be more focused with the time that I have, more engaged, not saying, okay, I'm spending time with my family at dinner and then on the phone or whatever it may be. You're going to be engaged with your family. Maybe for you, it's that you're going to do better with your finances, right? You're going to be more fiscally responsible. You're not going to spend like crazy. In order to do that, you're just going to avoid Target altogether because you cannot get out of Target without spending like $50, $60 when you go in there for a roll of paper towels. How many of y'all know that feeling, right? It happens. Yeah, but I'm going to be more responsible fiscally, more with my finances in 2018. Or maybe it's that 2018 is going to be that year that you're going to finally kick that destructive habit. You're gonna kick that addiction. There's this sense of hope that comes with the new year. January 1, it brings about hope. That something can be different. That my life can be different. That I can make that change that I've been wanting to make for years. And man, I pray that with this new year that God would give you that focus. That he would give you that determination. And more importantly, to give you that power to make those changes that you need to make. That he's revealing to you. But see, one of our biggest challenges and issues that we face when it comes to taking on our current goals and the things that we want to do is that we typically start off from a completely flawed perspective on how we're going to go about doing that or what we actually need to change, period. It's a flawed perspective that comes from the toxic perspective of a comparison. It's toxic. We're comparing constantly. A lot of times that's why the things that we want to change is just a comparison to somebody else. So let me explain that further. What we typically tend to do is we take our lives and then we look at somebody that's better in that area that we're thinking of, right? That maybe that's their sweet spot and we're seeing that. I'm not saying necessarily that's a bad thing, but it is when we start comparing in a very unhealthy way. When we look at them and we think, okay, they got it so much more together than we do in this area, and then we start to get overwhelmed. We get intimidated because of all the big changes that we need to make to get to where they're at. we're here, they might be there. They really may be like doing really well in that area. And we see this gap and we're like, man, it's going to take these massive changes in my life to get there. And then a lot of times we freeze because of that. We lock up because it's a major change that needs to take place. We're like, man, what huge changes do I have to make to get to that point in my life, to that level? And if you've ever found yourself there, I've got good news for you this morning. I've got good news that it's not always these huge, massive, big life changes that we have to make, but many times it's the small tweaks that we need to do consistently that makes all the difference. It's not these massive things, it's the small tweaks. In fact, many years ago, I heard a pastor say it like this, and it has stuck in my mind for 3 or 4 years since I've heard that. And he said it this way. He says, it's often the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. It's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. Being a competitor and an athlete, I immediately think of sports, right? I'm obsessed with golf, okay? So I think about, you watch the PGA Tour. If you ever go and watch them in person, those guys and the women on the LPGA Tour are incredible at their craft. And you're like, man, I can do that. I mean, I'll watch the Masters, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go play golf tomorrow. Like, I got to do it. And then I get out there, and it's like, whoa, something's wrong here. But it's what you don't see that makes them that good. It's hitting ball after ball after ball after ball. It's practice. It's the little things that aren't as fun, that's not as glorious, that doesn't get all the accolades that gives them that skill set that allows them to be great at that. And it's the same thing with us in our lives. It's often the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. So when you're talking about, I need to make some life changes, it's not jumping from point A to point M over here, like this big gap. It's the small steps that you have to do consistently that eventually leads to that place. It's the small things that results in the big things that everyone wants. Let me give you a few examples of that. How many of you would say, and you would agree with me, in that if you would read the Bible annually every year, it would strengthen your relationship with God, and it would give you a renewed faith if you could do that? Right. I agree. But for some people that really struggle and don't really enjoy reading all the time, which I'm one of those people. I don't enjoy the art of just opening up a book and reading. My wife is obsessed with that, and not me. But when you think about it, you take the Bible, and it can be such a big and intimidating book, and you're like, man, how can I ever get through that in a year? And it's overwhelming. And a lot of people do that, and they start that, and then they just freeze up, and they just stop. But in reality, it's a small thing, right? It's taking 15 to 20 minutes a day and reading some scripture. And if you do that every day consistently, when you come to the end of the year, you'll have completed. And most importantly, when you come to the end of the year, your faith will be so much stronger than it ever was. And your relationship with God will be so much closer because of the small thing done consistently. I mean, you spend 15, 20 minutes plus on Facebook and Instagram a day. I mean, you can read scripture for 15, 20 minutes, and it will make such a huge change in your life. I mean, it's the same way if you're wanting to lose some weight. You want to lose some weight. That's the very common New Year's resolution. All the people that consistently go to the gym will avoid it for the next month because it'll be packed. But it's just for January. February, it'll be fine because that's a New Year's resolution. But that's another topic anyways. But if you want to lose that, it's the small things that make the difference. I had a coach in high school who lost a crazy amount of weight. And he referred to it as him losing a middle schooler. That's how much weight he lost. And that was how he said it. And you think, like, man, how he must have made some crazy life changes to lose that weight. But in reality, if you ask him, he was like, no, I just drank water and walked like 10 minutes a day. And he started doing that. But he did it every day. He was consistent with it. It was a little tweak. And it made huge difference. It's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. Same thing with your marriage. If you want to improve your marriage, yes, there are many, many, many things you can do and that you should do. But one easy step is start praying with each other every day. Begin to pray together every day. And again, that doesn't have to be we're going to set aside 2 hours and pray, you know, for two. If that's you, that's beautiful. Like some people, you know, are these prayer warriors and we love you and you're so needed. But I mean, it could be just over coffee in the morning. Just pray together. It could be at the end of the day in bed together, just say a prayer. Pray together. It could be just a few minutes. And if you do that small thing consistently, you'll watch as God radically transforms your marriage. It's the small things that make the big difference. It's not overwhelming. It's the small things that are going to make that big difference. So in 2018, we need to focus on going small. I know that sounds weird in our current culture where everything is bigger and better, but we got to go small. We got to focus in on those things to begin to make that big difference. And so today, I want to kick things off by building somewhat of a foundation for our series that we're going to cover for the next few weeks. And I want to do that by, we're looking at scripture in the book of Zechariah, which is the second to last book in the Old Testament. And so what we're going to do today is that we're going to spend some time, we're going to read through Zechariah chapter 4, some verses out of that, and we're going to discuss those. Then I'm going to share with you what we're going to cover for the remaining 3 weeks of this series. And then finally, I'm going to give you an assignment. You're going to have some homework. I know you're like, man, I didn't come to church for some homework, but you're going to get some homework today. But it's going to be good homework. It's going to be easy homework. So you got this. So I'm going to give you an assignment and how we're going to focus in and go small in 2018. So first, we're going to jump into Zechariah, but I want to give you a little bit of context of what's going on here in chapter 4. So during this time period, we see that the temple had been destroyed. The people God's people were in captivity. So to say that this were some dark and difficult times is an understatement. And I know for some of you today, coming out of the holidays are either a great, joyous time, but a lot of times they can be some tough, dark times. Depending on what you have going on, just whatever that may be. So the people, God's people here were in a dark period. It was tough times. But in 538 BC, there was a decree that went out that allowed the people that had been exiled to return to their home. So shortly thereafter, Zerubbabel was able to lead a group of people back to Israel. And that birthed some hope, right? Because they would go back to their home where they belonged. So they were journeying back, and then 18 years after that, God spoke to Zerubbabel and said, I'm going to give you the power to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. He's like, I'm going to give you the power to rebuild that temple. And so we're going to pick up here in Zechariah. Zechariah, Zerubbabel, this is getting super, a lot of Z's here going on. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, that's where we're going to start. And it says this, and then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. In other words, the temple is not going to be rebuilt in your own power. The temple's not going to be rebuilt so that you can get credit for it. The only way the temple is going to be rebuilt is through my strength and my power. The Spirit of God working through you. That's the only way this thing is going to happen. And man, it's the same thing with us. I mean, we're trying to make these life changes, right? We want to make these life changes. And sure, if you're doing it on your own power, you might be able to move the needle a little bit, make a little bit of progress, but you're not going to truly make the full change that you need to make unless you tap into the power of God. Unless you tap into his spirit, the Spirit of God working through you. Because again, his power and his strength is perfected in our weakness. And I don't know about you, but that is some good news for me. That his strength and his power is perfected in my weakness. See, it's not going to be through our strength, but through his that we'll be able to move forward, to be able to change, to make those life changes that we need to make. So you can continue to struggle. You continue to fight tooth and nail trying to do it in your own power. Or you can tap into his power and his strength that's perfected in your weakness. and you can accomplish those things that he's calling you to do. You can make those changes that he's revealed to you that you need to make in your life. Those changes that you've wanted to make for years and years and years that you've struggled with. You can do that through his power, through his strength. And so God lets Zerubbabel know that he's going to give him the power and the strength through his spirit to rebuild the temple. In verse 7, he says, "Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him." I love this. He's saying that when God calls you to do something, man, there's nothing that can stand in your way. Nothing. Nothing in this world, no person, no power, nothing can stop what God has birthed in you and what his plan is for your life. There's nothing that can stop it. Not even the mighty mountain will stand in his way. Then he continues, and then Zerubbabel will set the final stone, and note the word when, and when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, "May God bless it. May God bless it." When, not if, but when he sets that final stone in place. You see, that's what I love. God already sees the successful, victorious end, right? Before he even lays the first stone down, he sees the success. He sees the final product. And again, it's the same thing for us. When he sets in your heart something that needs to be changed or something that you are to do, a calling in your life, he sees the end. He sees the successful, victorious end if you surrender to his strength and to his power and you let it lead you. And you let God lead you. You don't try to do it in your own strength. Us perfectionists really struggle with that. But it's his strength and his power. Verse 8. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Again, there's more of that. He will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Verse 10. Do not despise these small beginnings. Let me say that again. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Man, I hope that encourages you this morning as you set out to make whatever those changes are. Do not despise these small beginnings. Man, we need to hear that. Do not despise the small beginnings. But what do we tend to do? Right, whenever we're starting to make some changes, we get frustrated because it doesn't happen quick enough, because it doesn't happen in our timing. We're living in a day and age of immediate gratification for everything. Right? We need it now, fast. Do not despise these small beginnings. But hey, I need to lose some weight. So, you know, and I've been going to the gym for 2 weeks now, and I've been dieting, and I'm doing that, and I've only lost 2 or 3 pounds. This is bull. I should be down 15 pounds by now, right? No, don't despise the small beginnings. We've got to start somewhere. No, but you don't understand. I got to make all these changes, and I'm being diligent and I'm being faithful. But it's like one step forward, 3 steps back. We get frustrated. We get discouraged. And a lot of times, we quickly just throw in the towel. But God's saying, I rejoice in the small beginnings. Don't despise these small beginnings. Do not despise the small beginnings. I mean, think about that. We've really got to let that sit in. We really, really need that in our day and age today. Because, I mean, with Zerubbabel, man, he had to lay the first stone, right? Before he could lay the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth. One stone in the foundation is not impressive. But the finished product was. But the finished product never gets there without the first stone being laid. We've got to start somewhere. So don't despise these small beginnings. We have to be faithful. Focused. Because it's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. So don't despise the small beginnings. But man, this is a challenge for us. because of that whole comparison thing, right? We're constantly comparing ourselves to other people, to other things. There's constant comparison going on. Again, I mentioned it earlier, but I mean, thanks to Facebook and Instagram, right? But see, you don't ever see the behind the scenes of that. I heard several people have said this. I don't even know where it came from. I've heard so many different pastors use this now, but it's basically with comparison, and what we're doing is we're comparing our behind the scenes to their highlight reel. They're throwing out their very best on Facebook and Instagram. They're not, well, some people, but they're, you know, throwing out pictures of, you know, oh, look at this, look at how great my Christmas was, look at this, look at that, look at what I got, blah, blah, blah. Here's my family, we're smiling. But they don't post about what happened before that picture. The argument that happened on the way to grandma's house, right? They don't post those things. But we're comparing ourselves to that constantly. And we get intimidated. We get discouraged. Because it doesn't happen quick enough. I want to be there, but there really doesn't exist. It's the small beginnings. The small things done faithfully, consistently, that results in true transformation, true life change. We've got to stop comparing in an unhealthy, destructive way. And we do this with people from the Bible. I mean, think about David, right? We all know the story of David and Goliath. And we look at David and we're like, man, this little guy took down a giant. I mean, he took down Goliath. Man, I have so many giants in my life right now, and I want to conquer them. But how? I mean, I don't know how to do that. I mean, this little guy did that. I can never be like that. But see, we skip right over his small beginnings. We read right past that. We read right past the fact that he spent time and time and time again out in the fields, tending to the flock, preparing for that, right? Fighting off wild animals that would come. He was out there in the fields grinding, making it happen. God was preparing him with the little things for the big thing that was to come so that he could be faithful. But see, we forget that sometimes. We focus on the big event, not the journey. It's the same thing with Daniel, right? Daniel in the lion's den. We're like, man, that dude's faith was incredible. His faith never wavered once while he was standing in that den of lions. It's incredible faith. I want faith like that. I want my faith to be that strong. But again, we forget that every single day, regardless of what was going on, at least three times a day, he stopped what he was doing, fell on his knees before God, and he prayed. And he sought God's face consistently, over and over and over again. It's the small things that matter. The result in the big results. I mean, think about what your faith would be like, seriously, if you committed to praying three times a day. Never missed. Real prayer. Not a quick little meal prayer because you feel like you had to check it off your good Christian list, but you really sought God's face three times a day for the next year, for 2018. What would your life be like? What would your faith be like? What would your relationship with God be like as you entered 2019? I'm going to tell you, it would be radically different than what it is today. I promise you that. Because it's the small things done consistently. It's the small things that no one sees that results in what everyone wants, those big results. But we have to be faithful with that. So with that being said, over the next few weeks, we're going to focus on three very important areas of our lives. Very simple, but very important. And we're going to focus on those small pieces. The first thing we're going to look at is our thoughts. Then we're going to look at our words. And then we're going to look at our habits. Thoughts, words, and habits. See, because if we could make some small changes in those areas, and we could really focus in on those things, I promise you, you'll make those changes that you need to make. Life will be much different. Your relationship with God will be stronger. Your relationship with the people in your life will be stronger. As a result, our church will be stronger, more unified, more connected. Then we'll be able to reach more people with the good news of Christ. But it starts with the small, focused. And you can do that. That's what we're going to talk about for the next several weeks. But today, I want you to start to begin to focus on just one thing. Remember I said you had an assignment, right, I was going to give you. Some of y'all have been freaked out about that the whole time, like, what's this homework going to be? You haven't heard a word I've said since I said assignment or homework, whatever. But that's okay. I get it. But today, I want to challenge you to begin to focus on just one thing today. One thing is really important. We see that phrase a few times in Scripture, and it's really powerful. How the power of focusing on the small thing. One thing. For example, we see King David, right, in the Old Testament. He was referred to as a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. Man, I can only hope and pray that one day that someone could say that same thing about me, that I was a man after God's own heart. But that's what David was referred to as. But you know what? One thing he wanted above all else. We see it in Psalms 27, verse 4. He says, one thing I ask of the Lord, just this one thing that I seek, and that's to dwell in the house of the Lord for all my days. That was it. The one thing I seek is to be in the presence of God forever. Every day, 24/7, to be in his presence. This one thing I seek. One thing. Man, what if that was your one thing? I promise you, if that was your one thing and you just focused on constantly being in the presence of God, people would say that, man, that's they're a man or a woman after God's own heart. And then Paul in the New Testament, right? Probably the greatest apostle of all time. Incredible man. Incredible guy that had a pretty rough past. A rough past. Before he became a Christ follower, his sole mission and purpose in life was to seek out Christians, to persecute them, and to kill them. That's what he was about. But then he had an encounter with God that changed his life forever, right? And then became his follower of Christ. But even after that point, man, his life was still rocky. It was rough because he went through trials and persecution. I mean, he went through it. I mean, he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. He was imprisoned. The dude went through it. But through all of that, instead of just wallowing in his past, he said this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He said, but one thing I do, again, that one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Forgetting the past. It doesn't define me. It's there. It exists. But my past doesn't define me. So the one thing that I'm going to do is let that stay there, and then I'm going to move forward towards what God's calling me to do. Move forward to that change that he wants me to make in my life. I'm going to move forward in the direction that he leads me. I'm going to keep it moving. Not going to let the past define me. This one thing. It's amazing what God can do when we rest in his power. We give in to that. We trust him for that. And then we focus on that one small thing. It's incredible what he can do in your life. The life transformation that can take place when you receive and embrace that one thing. But on the flip side, when you miss that one thing, when you're not focused in the right area, it's incredible what you might miss out on. Another example of that is Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. Right? I think about this a lot because unfortunately I see myself so much in Martha and how she was approaching the situation, just to be really honest. She lost sight of what was important. She lost sight of the one thing. See, they were having Jesus over, right? And Mary, she was enjoying the presence of Jesus. Scripture says she was sitting at his feet. Just hanging out with Jesus. He was there, and she was just spending time with him. But Martha, man, she was running around like crazy. She was stressed out. She was freaking out. She was wanting to make sure everything was perfect for Jesus' visit. She wanted things to be spotless, to be perfect, for everything to go off without a hitch. She got frustrated, and she's like, Jesus, are you just going to let her just hang out with you while I'm running around doing all this work? Like, tell her to come help me. And then Jesus said this. He said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. Martha missed out on the presence of Jesus because she was letting the busyness of life and perfectionism to consume her. And because of that, she missed that one thing. And it's powerful when we really, truly embrace what's important, what's most important in our lives. And ultimately, that's our relationship with Christ. Period, the end. But as a part of that, God's going to reveal these things to you that you need to work on. And we need to focus in, not on everything, but on this one thing that he's going to lead you to do. And we're going to focus on that. We're going to go small. And we're not going to despise the small beginnings. So your assignment, my friends, your homework, back to that whole piece, right? Very simple. Very easy. For 2018, I want you to pick one word. Just one word. This is something that we've done at Life Point Church for years. Something that's very powerful and meaningful for me. And for my family. So I don't want you just to pick the word that you want. I want you to spend time this week in prayer, asking God to reveal to you one word. One word that's going to improve your 2018. One word that's going to lead you through 2018. That's going to lead you through the changes that you need to make. One word for 2018. And I want you to seek God for that. Again, don't make up what you want it to be. Be like, my one word is wealth. Boom. No, seek God for what your one word is going to be. Truly seek him for that. And then with that, I want you to then pair one verse with it. Because again, this isn't going to be done in your own strength. It's not about you. But it's through his strength and his power that's perfected in your weakness. So we're going to pair it with one verse. So one word and one verse. And trust me, when you do this, man, it's going to be powerful. You're going to watch as God leads you throughout the year in this. Again, like I said, this is something we've done for several years now, probably 3 or 4 years now. And my wife and my our one words are still written on each top corner of our dresser mirror right now. They're still there. From last year. And going back to 2015, my one word was wisdom. That was my one word. So that anytime I was faced with an important or critical decision or anytime things got tough, I wanted to focus on wisdom. That way I knew I wasn't operating from emotion, but from wisdom. So that was my one word. And my one verse was Proverbs 4:6, which says, don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. That was my one word and my one verse for 2015. Now for 2016, which then rolled into 2017, because I wasn't ready to let go of that one word. I still needed an extra year with that. But it was trust. It was trust. More specifically, trust your God. Trust your God. That was my word for 2016 and 2017. And the verse that paired with it was Isaiah 41:10. It says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. And trust. Trust your God is still written in the corner of my mirror. By focusing on one word, paired with that one verse. Not just one word, one God-given word in one verse can make all the difference. I can look back over the past 3 years, 4 years, and see how God used those words to guide my path, to lift me up when I needed to be lifted up, to encourage me when I need to be encouraged. for me to worship him and celebrate him. I could see how that one word made a difference, how it made an impact on my life, that one God-given word. And today, for 2018, to be honest, I'm still praying over what my one word will be. But what about you? Will you join me in that? Will you spend time in prayer this week, praying for God to give you and reveal to you one word? Just one word. Will you seek his face for that one God-given word? And if you do, this is what's going to happen. You're going to pray and you're going to seek, and he's going to reveal a word, maybe a couple words. And if it's a couple words, continue to pray over those words until he reveals that one word. And then from there, once he's revealed that word to you, then start searching scripture for a verse that's going to pair with it and pray over that. And again, that doesn't have to be something, and you know, we are getting ready, 2017, getting ready to be 2018. You know, you can just type it into Google. Maybe that makes me unspiritual, I don't know. But, you know, whatever word it is that God gives you, whether it's faith or hope or growth, patience, unity, whatever it may be, you can just type in verses on unity in scripture, and you're going to get a load of them. Then read through those verses. Pray over those verses. Don't just go, eh, I like that one. No, spend some time seeking God's face over this. I'm serious. Like, this can be very transformational. It can really connect and improve your relationship with God, as well as lead you through this next year. Because I believe that 2018 is going to be an incredible year. But I also know that because we live in a fallen world, that there's going to be challenges. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be curveballs. And you need to be prepared. And this is one way that it can really cinch in and sync up your relationship with God. And he's going to give you that one word. One word and one verse can make all the difference. And see, then what will happen is you get to the end of, if you do that and you're consistent with it and you're faithful with the small things and you put in that work, the small things, 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, whatever it may be, and you're focused on that one word, when you come to the end of the year, man, people are going to be like, bro, like, what happened to you? Like, before, I mean, you never really went to church that much. You never did this. Now you're there all the time. Man, you never really talked. You didn't seem to have a relationship with God at all, but now that's all that you talk about. That's all that you do. And the way you love people, man, you used to kind of be a jerk, to be honest. Like, I'm going to be seriously. But, man, you love like crazy now. You're so forgiving. You're so patient. Like, dude, what big, big life changes did you make? And you're going to be like, man, seriously, it wasn't these massive changes. It was just, I was faithful with what God led me to in the small things. It was just the small things that I was faithful in that resulted in this big thing that everyone noticed. Man, go small in 2018. Don't be overwhelmed. See, because when we get overwhelmed and intimidated, typically we just shut down. Too much. Too much, I got too much to do. I'm just going to shut down, push that over there. Man, embrace it. Go small. It's the small things over time that make the big difference. You see, God loves it, and he blesses us when we're faithful in the small things. He truly does. And we see this clearly in one of his parables that he taught in Matthew 25:21, when he said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount," right? "So now I will give you more responsibility." It's going to bless you when you're faithful in the small things. Because you were faithful in the small things, he's going to be able to give you more responsibility. More things to do, more people to reach. And you'll be equipped and prepared to do so. Man, don't let anybody fool you into believing that it's the big things that make the radical life change. Because it's not. Small things done over time. Being faithful and consistent in the small things makes the difference. It's often the small things that no one sees that results in the big results that everyone wants. So one word. Will you join me this week in praying for God to reveal to you one word for 2018? I challenge you and encourage you to do that. One word, one verse. Let's pray. And God, we thank you. We thank you so much, God, for another year. God, whether it's been a year that, man, that was just an incredible year of growth and encouragement and just great things, or if it was a year of just trial, difficult times, God, either way, God, we thank you. God, and as we move forward into 2018, Lord, may it be the best year yet for us personally, spiritually, God, and as a church. And may we tap into your power and your strength, God, that you receive all the glory for everything that transpires. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here this morning, and for 2018, man, this is the year that you give your life to Christ. Maybe you've been running from God, pushing him away, keeping him at arm's reach, or whatever, for whatever reason. But you're not connected to the Father. You don't have that personal relationship with him. And for you, this is the day, this is the time that you give your life to him. That's your step. Is to give your life to Christ. You see, he loves you so much. Man, he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, to take your place, to shed his perfect blood so that you could be made right before God. You see, we're all flawed. We all have failures. Not a single one of us is perfect. But we can be made right with God because of his son, Jesus. Because of his death and his resurrection. He rose victoriously, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, we have hope. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you will be saved. You can come to know the Father today through confessing and believing. Confessing and believing. And if that's you this morning, you're ready to step over that line of faith, just call out to him however he leads. And confess that you have flaws. Confess that you're not perfect and that you're in need of a Savior. And then put your faith and your belief that he is who he said he is. That he died and rose again for you. And then just give him your life. Receive that gift of salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower, but man, you need to make some changes. Need to tweak a few things here and there. And don't focus on what the end result's going to be or how big of a journey and tough of a journey and a mountain that you have to climb to get there. Man, think of one step in front of the other. One foot in front of the other. Just one step at a time. Take those small steps as God leads. And again, do it in his strength and his power, not in your own. I'm sure if you know that one thing that you need to change or that you need to work on or that you need to improve, you've probably tried over and over and over again everything you know to do. It's time to lay that over before God. Receive his strength and his power to conquer that. God, we thank you again for your mercy and your love and your grace. Thank you for the gift of salvation, God, that we so don't deserve. God, and I pray for each person that's here this morning, God, that you would just speak truth powerfully over their life, God. That they would hear and receive whatever it is that you're speaking to them, Father. God, I pray this week as they seek your face for one word, God, that you would powerfully give them that word. That they would receive it loud and clear, God, and they would connect your word to it, Father, and that they would embrace it and focus on that word and allow you to radically transform their life so that 2018 will be the best year yet, so that they will come closer to you and connect with you like never before in 2018. God, we pray that you would speak truth and that we would quiet our minds to receive it. God, may we receive your presence now and throughout this year, God. May we dwell in your house forever. As Mike leads us in a song, you do business with God however he leads. If you would like someone to pray over you, you can come forward. We'll have some of our leaders and staff up here. Or if you just want to pray for your seat, that's awesome too. You just do as God leads. You do business with him as Mike leads us in a song.